What is your greatest concern? A fractured relationship? A health issue? A financial setback? What if you could pull back the curtain of heaven and hear directly from God about your situation? I'm going to share with you how you can learn to hear God speak to you about the most important issues facing your life. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge features the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram on this daily discipleship program. I'm Dave Druy, and today Chip continues Believe, Volume 1 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. Okay, so I got this question the other day. How can the Bible be relevant to me? I mean, it's ancient history. Well, that's a great question, and it opens the door to a great conversation, which is where Chip is headed in this program. If you want to know how Jesus and the things he talked about are relevant to you today, stay with us for the next 20 minutes. And if you don't get to hear all of today's program, well, it's available on the Chip Ingram app. Well, let's join Chip now as he unpacks how you can know and understand the Bible for yourself, and more importantly, how God's Word can make a difference in your life right now. If you have a Bible, open it now to John chapter 1.
Here's what the scripture says. God wants to speak powerfully to you, and you're going to learn in just a minute how this can happen. But he says, if you really want me to speak, if you want to know me, if you want to experience me, not just intellectually, not just cognitively, if you want to know what to do about this struggle in your marriage, you want to know what to do with this financial problem, you want to know how to resolve this conflict with someone at work, you want direction and vision. Here it is. If you seek me as silver and search for me as hidden treasure, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. It's Proverbs 2. The wisest man in the world says, God wants to speak, but the jewels are not on the top of the ground. He says, I want to see that your heart isn't just to use me. I want you to dig because I want to know you and I want to reveal myself to you. And you start by observation. And then you make some clear observations, and then we'll move to how he speaks. But are you ready for this? Here's a few observations. And okay, just tell me if these are fair. I read chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The Word was before time began, verse 1. True or false? Okay. You can agree or disagree, but that's what it says. All we're trying to figure out is what it says. The Word is God and was with God. Might cause a few problems, but is that what it says or not? Okay. The Word created everything. Observation. The Word is the source of all life, verse 4. This life is the light of men. That's what it says. The Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh, verse 14. And Jesus reveals what God is like. That's what it says, right? Now think about this. Just moving to, wow. So would this mean like, in all of heaven, when those angels are going, holy, 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 and the seraphim cover their eyes, and in the book of Revelation, when we hear who was and is to come, and when everyone comes in contact, they fall on their face before him. And if he's created the source of all of life, then he made my DNA and every animal that breathes and every solar system, and he heals all things by the word of his power, and he's the king of glory, and he filled all these prophecies, and he's all-knowing, and he's all-powerful, and his light shines out that expresses to every human being, and God is wooing and drawing individuals. That's who I get to pray to? See the difference? All I did is make a couple observations. It's what it says. Fourth, here's how you discover this. Play spiritual Jeopardy with the text to clarify what relevant questions God's truth is answering, okay? What if you now know the answer? This is who Jesus is, and it was addressing issues then. What if I played spiritual Jeopardy? Now I know the answer. What question in my life and in my world does that truth answer? You follow me? Let me give you an example. Here's four questions that I pulled out of John 1 through 18 that were pretty normal. So I pretend, I don't really pretend because that's probably not a good word at all because Jesus is not was, is. I can have a conversation with him. And so if I wanted to have a personal conversation out of what I just read and observed, I would say, who exactly are you and where did you come from? Is it fair to say that verses 1 through 5 answer that? Who exactly are you? In the first century, who is this Jesus you're telling me about? In the 21st century, you're at work and someone says, you're a follower of Jesus? Like, are you kidding me? Who is he and where did he come from? Jesus would say, this is who I am. I am the Logos. In the Old Testament, the Logos was the personal, divine personality of God, the communication. John took from the Greek world, and the Logos was the divine source of reason and truth that's behind all of the universe and all reality, kind of the infinite reference point. They may not know who a God was, but the Logos was whatever this communication, whatever the core behind all of life is. So the Apostle John takes this Old Testament concept, knowing where people are living with all this Gnosticism, and he gives Jesus this name of the Logos, the living God. And Jesus would say, I am the God who was and is to come. I'm the creator of all that there is. I'm the source of all life, your future. I know the beginning from the end. I'm in charge of all history. In fact, it's his story, Jesus. I'm all powerful. I'm all knowing. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. Angels bow down to me. I have no beginning. I have no end. My purposes cannot be thwarted. And I personally am committed to you. Whoa. That's who you are and where you came from. And then I kind of follow it up with an application question like, if all the angels, if all of history, if all of time, if all eternity, if every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, and you are the CEO of the universe and the creator and the source of all life, do you have the same place in my heart that you have in the universe? Isn't that the logical question? And then I ask that out loud, just in my little time with God. And then I sit quietly. And often I'll hear I'll hear whispers of the Holy Spirit. You know what? It is in your marriage now, Chip. I'm really proud of you. Or Chip, you know what? Yeah, you really have surrendered your money. You have trusted me with your finances. And then he'll whisper some other things. Man, you're pretty controlling when it comes to this. Because, well, why? I thought you trusted. I'm in control. I'm God. I live inside of you. And as I listen to that, do you understand what happens here? We've gone from reading a chapter, trying to be a good moral person and come to church semi-often and thinking that somehow I'm going to get my life worked out, to a personal, living, dynamic relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who will speak to you and whose word is written, who becomes living, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces the division of soul, of bone and marrow, and divides the intentions of the heart, and it'll begin to speak to you and give you direction and wisdom and conviction. Question number two, in view of verses 6-9. I don't want to be disrespectful, but can anyone corroborate your story? These are fantastic claims. Isn't that a fair question? I mean, if I was back there, I would say, well, like, is there someone that can tell me that this wild story about God coming to the planet? Oh, yeah, John the Baptist. Huh. It's not just John the Baptist, though. He quoted Isaiah. There's 700 prophecies about Jesus coming he fulfilled. The role of Isaiah 40. 2,000 years of testimonies of people. Personal testimonies of billions of people whose lives have been transformed. Or part of it, you know, we get so narrow, we think how we think. Let's get back to AD 90. You know what virtue was? Ruthlessness and power. It's the Roman world. We take over the world. We just crush Jerusalem, AD 70. What's it mean to be a real man? You treat women like dirt. Kids are just, you can take them, throw them on the dump if you don't like them. It's ruthlessness, power, selfishness. I am a Roman. But in 60 years, 50 to 60 years, instead of ruthlessness being a virtue, mercy is a virtue. Women, instead of being pieces of property to be used and abused and thrown away, are co-heirs with the grace of God. Children, instead of being thrown on the pile because they weren't a boy or a girl or some defector, you just didn't want one, the Christians went to the dumps daily and they would take the little children and raise them as their own. Three plagues happened in the first century. Plagues where millions of people died. The only people that stayed in the cities were the Christians. And they're willing to martyr and give their life following Jesus. And they would nurse both Christians and non-Christians. And they love people. Rodney Stark, in his book, The Triumph of Christianity, sociologist, I have no idea where he's coming from. It's a historical book. says by the year 300, of the 60 million people in the Roman Empire, 33 million were followers of Jesus. And it says in large measure, because they were the only people, as populations were devastated, you were a person who was loved by a Christian, or you were a Christian and survived, or you had a relative of someone that the only one cared, were these crazy followers of Jesus. You have an amazing testimony. The testimony of law, testimony of government, the 2,000 years of wherever Christianity, is there some black marks on Christianity? Absolutely. Are the people in the name of Jesus have done terrible things? Absolutely. But step back and taking as a whole, wow. And so I would say to myself, okay, I would ask something like, if John was a testimony for Jesus so people could believe, who do I know that draws me to Christ like more than anybody else? You ever thought about that? Maybe I'll jot them a note. Someone's gonna get a call and get love today because of this passage, because God's speaking to me. And then I might ask a question like, what kind of testimony am I for you? How are we doing? What people at work, what would my kids say? What would my roommate say? What would my husband or wife say? How am I doing in terms of communicating in a way that really demonstrate you're who you really said you are? Now, and then I sit quietly. And usually I get some attaboys. And I usually get a few not so attaboys, right? And you know what I do? I thank God that there's progress. And then when he whispers, you know, in that situation last week when, you know, you were in a real hurry and you did this and you did this, I think maybe dropping by and apologizing to that person would be a very Christ-like thing to do. And I get out my pen and my journal and, oh, really? Can I just say I'm sorry? I'm good. You good? Oh, no. Okay. You know? Are you seeing what happens?
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. This message is from Chip's series, Jesus Unfiltered, Volume 1, Believe. For more information about this series or the ministry of Living on the Edge, please visit our website, livingontheedge.org. Well, now let's get back to Chip for the rest of his talk.
Third question. He says, I would ask him, so, you know, in your time on earth, what was your greatest disappointment? What was your greatest joy? What's his greatest appointment? What did he say? He came to his own, and those who were his own rejected him. His greatest joy had to be, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And they got related to him, and they turned from their sin, and they loved him. And I just think to myself, wow. And then, you know, are you guys kind of getting the idea of how you begin to say, okay, that's what it says, that's what it means. You know where I'm at now is, what's this really mean to me? And so I would ask this question, Lord, I'd like to start with the positive. What's your greatest joy with me right now? Just kind of where we're at. What is it about how I think, how I live, how I love, that just puts a smile on the very God of heaven? And I sit and I listen. And then, Lord, is there anything that disappoints you right now? I mean, I know you love me. I know you're not down on me. I know I live by grace. I know you're patient. I know I'm human. But is there anything that just is kind of disappointing you right now? If you ask that and I ask that out of this, do you think God would speak? See, what I'm trying to explain to you, he said, God, he will give you graphic, clear direction, and he wants to affirm you, but as he even points something out, if you act on that light, Jesus said he'll give you more light. And his voice gets louder and louder and louder. Every time you know, when you kind of hear it, we've all had these, right? I think I should stop and help this person. I'm too busy. I think I should stop and jot a note to so-and-so. Oh, I will later, and you don't do it. Every time God speaks to me and I say no, the voice gets fainter and fainter and fainter. And every time I say yes, he says, them that have light, I'll give more light. Them that say no to the light that I give them, eventually I take away the light that I've given them. God wants to speak to you. He loves you. He wants to interact. He, believe me, I mean, he's got software solutions. He's got company solutions. He's got childhood solutions. He's got medical solutions. He wants to whisper in your ear and give you direction and wisdom and help and encouragement. He loves you. And finally, the question is, why did you choose to come to Earth the way that you did? What was your purpose or mission? And why? Because the answer is in 14 through 18. And I think in my own words, this is what Jesus would say. I chose to come because I made you. And I want to be with you. And I miss you. And I really love you. And I wanted you to really know what I was like. And so I thought if I took on human flesh and I walked around and you could see how I respond and how I live and what I say, you'd really know who God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is. And ever since the garden, you've been in rebellion with all those other humankind, but we created you for us. Let us make man in our image. And we love you. And I came and lived a perfect life, and I fulfilled that law because it came through Moses. I fulfilled it completely. I never sinned in thought, word, or deed. And then I came to bring truth and grace. And so after I lived that perfect life, I died, but I was innocent. But because I am perfect, my death had infinite value. But because I was human, fully God, I was able to die. And when I died, I took your sin and the sins of all people of all history of all time, and they were placed on me, and I covered them. They're done. So that whosoever, you don't have to, but whosoever would say, I want what you did for me on the cross to count for me, they could receive Jesus and have their sins forgiven and begin a relationship with me. That's why I came. I miss you. I want to direct you. I want to love you. I want to help you. And then I would probably say something like, Lord, have I received that gift? If you want to be with me, do it. If I've received the gift of eternal life, do I like hanging out with you? Do we spend any time together? Is this sort of a theological set of things that someone told me I should believe, and maybe or maybe not, I filled out a card or prayed a prayer or did this or did that, is this like coming home? Is this like being loved? Is this like not just believing the facts, but believing and trusting and entrusting and accepting forgiveness? And like Nathaniel and Philip and Andrew and Peter, I just want to follow you and get to know you, and I want to take as many people the moment I find out with me. Do you understand now who Jesus is, who he is to you, what difference he makes? We've modeled this, but the final point is to ponder deeply the implications and the application of the truth to your personal life, circumstances, and relationships. And I did that just a little on each one. And sometimes I spend 15 or 20 minutes doing this, and sometimes I look up and it's been an hour. But isn't that what you do when you have coffee with a friend? Sometimes you only have time to, you know, catch up. Sometimes you spend a half a day together. The gospel is the good news. You are deeply valued. And he longs not just to forgive you, but to do life with you in ways beyond your wildest dreams.
Chip will be right back, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from Believe, Volume 1 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. In this series, Chip teaches through the entire book of John, unpacking how we can understand the Bible, and more importantly, how we can believe that God and his word can make a positive difference in our lives, starting today. Now, maybe listening more than once is the key to mastering the truth in these passages. To check out the audio discounts for Believe, just go to livingontheedge.org. Now, in addition to the Believe resources, we have a companion resource for you to take a look at. It's called the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards. Chip chooses a key verse from each chapter of the Gospel of John, and then he exposes a common lie we tend to believe about ourselves or our position in Christ, and then knocks down the lie with the truth in that passage. Now, these cards are a great way to battle effectively when your faith or the truth of Scripture are being challenged. Shipping is free while supplies last. For complete details on the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and the Believe discounts, visit us online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, now here's Chip with a quick thought.
I want to take a minute today to talk to those of you that have been listening to Living on the Edge for quite a while. You've been ministered to by Living on the Edge. Now, I'm going to ask you to very seriously pray about something specific. Would you consider prayerfully partnering with us on a monthly basis? Monthly partners make a huge difference in the life of the ministry. Not only does it tell us that you're with us, your heart is with us because your money is being given and helping us each and every day, but it tells us that you're really a part of the family, that you are one of those people that, whether it's a big amount, small amount, really that's immaterial. But it's about saying, rather than just now and then, it lets us know, here is a group of people that are on mission with us to help Christians live like Christians. And like any organization, the predictability of knowing that people are behind you, that you can count on whatever it is each month, it makes a huge difference. And so if you've been listening, and I'm sure many of you have already given once here or there, or maybe you have listened and just have never thought about, oh, wow, that's right, these people have to pay for all of this. Would you consider, just prayerfully, God, would you like me to partner with Living on the Edge? It can be whatever amount God shows you, but it would mean the world to us, and I think you would find your heart resonating as you partner with the ministry, because it's not just a financial provision, it's becoming a part of the ministry that helps other people. So here's my request. Pray specifically, and then do just whatever God shows you.
Thanks, Chip. Well, as you prayerfully think about Chip's request, I want to remind you that when you partner with Living on the Edge, you become part of a much bigger team. As we partner together, a donation of any amount is significant. Now, to send a gift, just call us at 1-888-333-6003. Or if you prefer to give online, just go to livingontheedge.org. And let me thank you in advance for your support of this ministry. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
As we close today's program, let's come up with a little plan together for you to begin to read God's Word every day in a way that'll make sense, and in a way that little by little by little, God is going to speak to you. So don't get discouraged early. In fact, the first chapter of John is the most difficult. Okay, here's the plan. Number one, let's decide on a time. When are you going to do it? Might be first thing when you get up. Might be your lunch hour, might be before you go to bed. Personally, I do it first thing because my best intentions often just get blown away at lunch or I fall asleep at night. Why don't we just say, let's 15 minutes, that's all it's going to take. Just 15 minutes. Next, let's decide where you're going to do it. I don't know your living situation, but you need a place that's quiet, a place that's alone. I have a favorite chair. You might designate a place in the house or a favorite chair, or there's been times in my life where I had roommates and stuff. I literally went out in my car. But just for the next couple weeks, we're going to meet with God. We're going to ask those questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? We're going to commit 15 minutes, decide in advance, where are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? We're going to ask those questions, and I'm going to tell you something. God wants to speak to you. Are you ready to make that commitment? Let's start the journey together.
You know, an easy way to hear this message again would be to download the Chip Ingram app. You'll have free access to all these Jesus Unfiltered messages, Chip's interactive message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to email or give us a call right from the app. Well, be sure to be with us again next time when we continue our current series. For Chip and the entire team, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.